Well, y'all look better. Are you refreshed, not refleshed? It's God's presence, man. That's the everybody wants an answer of something. Getting God's presence, it will come. That's all it is. But you got to get to a place where you're worshiping. You've got to get to a place where you can cross over. Because this is not about religion. It's not about how much knowledge you know. I don't care if you can read the Bible from cover to cover and memorize it. It's His presence that's everything. Everything. Without His presence, we're nothing. Amen? Oh, God's doing a mighty thing, you know. The world is changing. We're in a great transition. What a time to be alive. Amen? What a time to be alive. But we can't get caught up in all of this foolishness and all of the false doctrines and all the false prophets in the media. Because those are just false prophets. You know, and it's important that we stay connected. I really believe right now one of the things that the Lord is doing is bringing, and He's changing things around. He wants to bring divine encouragement. Everyone say divine encouragement. Because, you know, I mean there's nothing greater than we can encourage one another. But let me tell you something. When you get divine encouragement, it's totally different. That's a big change. Amen. So we need divine encouragement. We need to seek divine encouragement. Divine encouragement comes in multiple ways. But in the Old Testament, you know, when God appeared to them or an angel appeared to someone, man, they got divine encouragement. Amen? And we need divine encouragement right now because of all the things that are going. Would you go to Psalm 40 with me? Verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. Okay, stop. Let's let that burn in. I waited patiently for the Lord. Not, I waited and left. Yeah, I waited for the Lord. I asked this prayer and I booked. And I did something my own self. No. I waited patiently for the Lord. What was He waiting for? Divine encouragement. He wasn't going to nobody. He wasn't picking up the phone. He wasn't looking for anybody to encourage Him. He was waiting for God to encourage him. Amen? I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. Well, obviously He got an answer, didn't He? He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Heard my cry. With what? What manifested answer? Bring in a divine encouragement to Him. I mean, don't get me wrong. Everybody, we all need encouragement. We need encouragement every day. Amen? But there's nothing greater than divine encouragement. That changes everything. That sets you back on course again. In fact, divine encouragement will also bring divine confirmation so that you know you're doing the right thing. Amen? Go to Joel chapter 2. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. That's phenomenal. The prophecies, dreams, visions, they're associated with divine encouragement. If God speaks you in a dream, if He visits you in a dream, that's divine encouragement, man. When divine encouragement comes, so does revelation. We need divine encouragement more, and I really believe that God is getting ready to bring divine encouragement to humanity more than ever before. Because people have been deceived, living in darkness, blinded, taken advantage of, and taken captive and imprisoned spiritually, soulishly, and many physically, mentally. And God is changing that. Why? Because when that revelation comes, bam, breakthrough comes. Psalm 69. We haven't seen anything yet what God's getting ready to do, but we're getting closer. Psalm 69, verse 13, please. Hallelujah. Speak together, please. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overtake me, nor let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Now, was he picking the phone up and calling for someone for encouragement? No. He went right to the Lord. This is where we go every morning. Start your day. Go get connected. Get disconnected from the world. Get connected to the Lord. Why? And you seek his divine encouragement. If you're waiting for someone to encourage you, shame on you. We're not of this world. Don't get me wrong. Encouragement from one another is helpful. See, so we encourage one another while we're waiting to get divine encouragement. Amen? In fact, you're to encourage yourself. Hallelujah. Go to Exodus 33. So he wasn't seeking just an answer. He was seeking divine encouragement. Exodus 33, verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, so you may say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know your name, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way that I may know and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, and from the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and know I know your name. And he said, please show me your what? Show me your what? What was he asking for? Divine encouragement. Then he said, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cliff of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now remember, after Jesus paid the price, the blood of sacrifice, then he said what? Seek my face. Seek my face. So what was he looking? What did God do with Moses? Man, he show me your glory. Show me your divine encouragement. Show me your divine encouragement. Did Moses change when God showed up? Every time. See, when divine encouragement comes, even increases your faith. And we all need our faith increased every day. Amen. Go to Mark 16, verse 9. You know, think about how many people are oppressed. Isn't that what the enemy loves to do, oppress people? People are bombing. How many people are committing suicide because they haven't been encouraged? Or even when somebody tries to encourage someone, they can't receive it because they're so bound up. But when divine encouragement comes, nothing can stop that. Breakthrough comes every time. Mark 16, verse 9. Let's speak it together. Now when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So the ones that saw him had divine encouragement, didn't they? I mean, nothing going to change it. But the ones that heard about it, they had a hard time receiving because they needed divine encouragement themselves. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Do you believe? Well, a believer is what? A follower. Not what someone says they believe in, but they don't follow. A believer is someone who follows. Amen? And he said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will do what? Why is that the first thing? You know, why is that? Because that's where your battle's at. It's against demons. It's against powers of darkness. These are disembodied spirits from the Nephilim. These are fallen disembodied spirits from fallen angels that came into this realm and produced Nephilim, Rephilim. They're offsprings of the evil one. And people don't realize that. Your fight and my fight is not against one another. It's just demonic influence. Why do arguments come? See, demons get fed by emotion. They love arguments, man. Man, they show up with a big apron on, a knife and a fork, one hand and the other. They say, let's eat. That's why when things start happening in the house, the first thing you got to say is, demon in the house, get him out. Demon in the mind, get him out. Amen? We do not fight flesh and blood. That's why we have a wonderful teaching that says, who told you that? We've got to constantly maintain that. Amen. These signs will follow. Lord, you're going to cast out demons. They're going to speak with new tongues. That means tongues, the gift of tongues. That doesn't mean you're going to go to college and learn another language or whatever. Or what is it, that Rosetta thing? I don't know. Yeah, kind of go to that. You're going to speak in the spirit because you're going to speak directly to God. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly or by no means hurt, then it doesn't mean you're going to out and test God. Amen? You're not going to siphon somebody's gas and drink it or, you know, go out and pick up snakes, you know, dance with them. No. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It doesn't mean that they're going to automatically be healed. It says that they will recover. I remember going to the hospital one time. I mean, I've prayed for people. They've been healed. And I went in the hospital, and the nurse was in there, and people were in there. And I was asked to go pray for this person. I went and prayed for this person. I said, Lord, I thank you for healing this person here or if they go home, one or the other. I'm not going to interfere, but I pray that you would heal him here if he hasn't fulfilled the purpose and mission and time that you've allocated to him. But if he is done, take him home. That way he's healed, one or the other. And he went home. Now I've seen people get healed. tumors, cancer, all kinds of things. But you know, it's amazing in the area to where we get caught up in this religious state of mind. And we become bound ourselves and not free. You know, Paul loved, he said, man, you know what, I'd love to really go home. But I know I've got a mission to fulfill here. We should be always have an attitude of homebound. You're heavenly bound. Amen? We are citizens of heaven. We're not of this place anymore. The only reason why we're still here and God's changed us is to fulfill a mission and a purpose. That's it. But we've got to learn the tools. We've got to learn how to cooperate with heaven. We've got to learn how to be encouraged by divine encouragement and to encourage yourself. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So even here, here divine encouragement came mightily. Everybody okay? Let's go to Colossians 2. When Jesus shows up, there's divine encouragement, man. Demons run, flee. Reality comes. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. God is exposing the reality of this realm and exposing that because it's a false reality. But he's also exposing the true reality, which he's trying to bring in. Colossians 2, verse 1, let's speak it together. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for us as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be what? Encouraged, being knit together in love and attending to all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in and with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and dark. We're complete in him, even though sometimes we feel incomplete. Amen? But we can't allow our emotions to dictate who we are. We are because he is. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 3:1. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and a minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you in what? Encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by this afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. Look, we're going to be attacked. You will be tempted. It doesn't mean, look, we're perfect in him, but we're going to still make mistakes. So don't let your mistakes and failures bring such discouragement. Amen? If you miss something, you know, God sets divine appointments. He tries to get us into the position where we can get there. But if we get so distracted and caught up in worldly things, because that's how the enemy loves. You know, the enemy sees when God's doing something in your life. And he loves to distract or move or do something to that degree. So you make the wrong decision. You regret it later. Then guilt and condemnation comes. That ain't encouragement. That's disappointment. But disappointment can bring divine appointments if you allow it. But you got to allow it. Amen? And this is where so many people try to fix their mistakes instead of waiting on an answer from God. When you get the answer from God, the mistake's fixed. Amen? Then you don't have to worry about it again. It's done and over with. Oh, hallelujah. We are established and encouraged on a daily basis from God. With what? Divine encouragement. Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. Anybody ever make a mistake? Don't raise your hand. We all have been. And believe me, you're going to still make mistakes. But thank be to God, he's faithful to forgive us and encourage us. Amen. Remember when Jesus was with the disciples, and how many times they disappointed him, but he still turned around and encouraged them, no matter what. Now we have the Holy Spirit that encourages me and you. That's called divine encouragement. Amen? But you got to have a relationship with him. Galatians 6, verse 7, please. Do not be what? Deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now remember, sowing in the Spirit. Is praise and worship sowing in the Spirit? Yeah. Is speaking the word sowing in the Spirit? Yes. So you got to sow your way out of everything. As you begin to sow, the more you sow your way in the Spirit, encouragement comes. Divine encouragement begins to come. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us not do good. Let us do good to all, especially to those what? The household of faith. So we don't want to grow weary. Amen. We want to be encouraged. Don't grow weary. Discouragement is dangerous. And it's really easy to be discouraged. You know, so many times you don't get what you want. It didn't turn out the way you wanted it. You know? Somebody disappointed you. Somebody betrayed you. Somebody hurt you. Forgive, bless, move on. And know that there's a special word. All things work to the good to those who love the Lord. To those, they're going to work to the good no matter what. If you stay in that position. If you stay in that attitude. But it ain't going to work to the good if you're constantly groaning and complaining. Or you hold on forgiveness. Amen. Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in what? Tongues. Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Everybody get it? Praying in tongues. What's it say? It increases your most holy faith. So if your most holy faith is increasing, are you going to be encouraged? Yes. Those are how you encourage yourself. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. On others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Proverbs 29, verse 18. where there is no revelation. Uh-oh. Wait a minute here now. Where there's no divine encouragement, the people cast off restraints. But happy is he who keeps the law. What are they casting off? Restraints to the flesh. When you cast off the restraints of the flesh, you also cast off the restraints of the enemy. He loves to bring discouragement. That's one of his weapons. It's the same game he plays over and over and over. Amen? Where there is no revelation, where there is no divine encouragement, they cast off restraints. Amen? That's why you and I must seek divine encouragement daily. We're looking for revelation. We're looking for something that we know is coming from God to what? Encourage you. Man, he waits to do it every single day. I'm going to close at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Let's speak it. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you to Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused, hello, from sleep. Amen. So what happened to Joseph? He got divine revelation, didn't he? He woke up, man. Whoa! And being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him to his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name what? Jesus. I mean, you got to think about it. Here, Joseph being a just man, lineage of David. He's dating this girl, you know. She gets pregnant. It's like thinking, snap. I mean, you know, I know it ain't my kid. And can you imagine your girlfriend coming to you and saying, listen, I didn't sleep with no man. This is I got a visitation from the Holy Spirit of God who impregnated me. Yeah, right. Joseph needed divine encouragement, man. But he needed divine revelation so he could proceed what was going on. Amen. See, so understand that without divine encouragement, there's not divine revelation. And then sometimes we drift off course. And we don't want to drift off course right now because of all the things that's going on. We're being saturated with all kinds of deception. We're being hard pressed on every side. The voices of hell are everywhere. I mean, let me tell you, the battle, you know, one of the things is Babylon is falling. And this is Babylon. It's a system. And the word tells us that there was a place of demons. That's a dwelling place. That's their home. So where did they dwell? In Babylon. And what are they looking for? A host. They're looking for a human to feed off of. This is where our battle's at. People don't believe that. Some people have to have a divine revelation. There was a girl that came into our ministry, and boy, she was rough. She wanted to go home. She was from New York. And she just grumbled, complained. She was here for a few days, and we had a Friday night anointing service. And the Lord said, I want you to just lay your hands on her and stir up her demons. I don't want you to cast them out. Just stir them up. I said, okay. So during the worship service, and we settled, and I walked over to her, and I laid a hand on her. I said, loose her. Boy, those demons came up to the surface. She went down on her knees, crawling like an animal. I told you already about this. I got on her back and rode her. Then I told those demons to shut up and stop. She collapsed to the ground. She got up. She grabbed me, hugged me, was weeping and crying. I said, are they real? She said, yes. Unfortunately, it didn't hold too long. She left 2 days later, and she took them with her. See, God was trying to give her divine what? Encouragement with revelation. And it was there manifest. She got it, but she couldn't hold on to it. And this is what the enemy does. What does he come to? Steal, kill, and destroy. And the first thing he wants to steal is your identity. So many believers haven't reached the place of who they really are. And the enemy plays games with them. They're still unstable in that decision of who they really are. You're either son of and daughter of God, or you're son of daughter of the devil, one or the other. We have to make the choice. Remember, the devil owns the fence. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for the encouragement today and for divine encouragement as we seek it every single day from you, Papa. I pray blessing over each and every one here. Prepare our hearts for communion and let your seed grow and bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah.